Welcome to Beyond Wellness. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, the gluten-free guru, on WEHC 90.7 Emory and Henry College, your college and community station. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics projections, there will be 1.2 million unfilled commuting and technology jobs by 2020. Today in the studio, I have two special guests. They are working very diligently at educating young people on science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. My first guest is Nikki Rayleigh. She is the IT and volunteer coordinator for Lego League. My second guest is Callie Heidela. She is the Director of Expeditions of William King Art. Now, Callie is also a host for Art Speaks, so you'll probably recognize her voice. If you're not listening to Art Speaks, it does air Thursdays at 1 p.m. She's going to be the Master of Ceremonies for the upcoming Southwest Virginia Regional Lego League Tournament. Welcome to Beyond Wellness.
Thanks. Thank you.
So some people may wonder how Lego League ended up coming on Beyond Wellness. But for me, when I think about wellness, it's all sorts of things, including your financial wellness, your mental well-being, and I'm excited to have you all talk about this. I have a family member who's participated for a couple years, and this year I'm going to be there volunteering, which I know that you, Nikki, need lots of volunteers. The event is going to be on November the 14th at the Southwest Virginia Higher Education Center. It starts at 9 o'clock. Nikki, can you tell us what the challenge is and kind of what Lego League is for people who just think it's taking a bunch of plastic Legos and building maybe a truck or something with it?
All right, so first, Lego League starts out with an NXT robot, and from there, the students take their Lego pieces and they can build it into whatever they want to. Whatever they need to do to complete their challenges in the tournament part, which Callie, for the past, I guess, 3-4 years, has been the head referee. So they complete their challenges, they can build it as they go, they also can swap parts out in between. So it's not just a little robot that's like, you know, 2 inches tall. It's up to, you know, it could be up to 8-12 inches, depending on what they're building at the time. And Chrissy, you mentioned wellness. Well, part of Lego is a high energy event from start to beginning. In the grand hall, we start out around 9 a.m. doing practice rounds, and we have kids jumping, yelling, screaming, dancing for hours. Some of their favorite songs are Cotton Eye Joe, and it just goes on all day long, and sometimes we don't know where the kids get all this energy from. But then they also have to use their minds to complete in a project, teamwork, and core values.
Callie, you mentioned that, I guess, before the show, that you've really been involved and done a lot at the Southwest Virginia Higher Education Center. Now that you're in here, I do recognize your face as one of the referees. It was not what I expected at all the first time that I went to a Lego League competition. Nikki has touched on it a little bit. So if there's a spectator that wants to come, this is open to the general public. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, it is.
Free of charge.
Absolutely.
So if you have a student, what ages can participate in a team, and could they maybe just come if they're not in a team and kind of check it out and see if it's something that they would like to do next year?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Anybody who thinks they might be interested, absolutely come check it out, even if just for an hour. It's this particular Lego Robotics is for ages 9 through 14, and then I think there's a pre-Lego age group as well, and then teenagers can also advance and do some more advanced Lego robotics. But the first Lego League at the higher ed is that 9 to 14. But, you know, I also didn't know what I was going to get into when the first time I came to volunteer. I was somebody who, like, kept time at the door in front of, like, one of the competition rooms. And I got to be out in the main, the grand hall where we have the main competition tables, where the two teams are going head to head trying to complete all these challenges on the map. And it was instantly addictive. Just the amount of creativity that you see in these kids and the amount of energy and passion that's gone into creating these really scarily complex for me Lego pieces, you know, I think that this could be a great spectator sport. So if you don't have a kid involved, come check it out anyway. I think that you would get really interested, and then hopefully, like I did, you know, just keep coming back for more every year and start volunteering and helping out too.
I think it's very inspiring as an adult being able to watch these students and think, this is the next generation. These are the people that are going to be our leaders. Mm-hmm. These are going to be people who are in our workforce. And so a lot of times on the news or even on the radio, we get information about, you know, children and sitting on the couch and only doing video games and things like that. And then you see this group of kids that come together and come up with a solution to a problem. So each year you all have a challenge. Mm-hmm. What is the challenge this year, and what do they do with the challenge?
So this year is a trash tech trek. So what they had to do is come up with inventive ways on how to take care of this problem. So they could be involving with recycling, other sources of methods to dispose of the trash, and there's, you know, 15 to 20 challenges on the robot table where they compete in the grand hall. And then from there, then they had to go and explain, you know, something about robot design and so on. So really, the kids had to come up with the solution. They just present it from First Lego League, and then it's all up to them from there.
I didn't realize that each team makes up their own team name. You've got people in the team that have skills as far as graphics design, art, presentation skills, and so really you can tap into what the students' gifts are, and then they get challenged maybe to do something that they're not normally comfortable doing. What are some of the crazy team names? And we're not promoting any teams, particular, but just what are some of the names and some of the really wild t-shirt designs and things that you've seen?
Evil Purple Socks.
And then there's a team called Chaos. And then there was a group that were like in hazmat suits one year. And it was a bunch of little kids. And I just remember them coming in these full yellow hazmat suits. And those were pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that's something people don't realize too, is these teams dress up. Like, it's not just, you know, you're wearing your team t-shirt. I think it was last year or the year before, a whole team came in wearing like Duck Dynasty beards. Mm-hmm. Which was phenomenal. And the volunteers are encouraged to dress up too, you know, like wear a crazy hat or something like that. Because it's... you know, it adds to the sense of almost carnivalesque, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a word. Fun.
This takes these challenges and preparing and all the different things like core values that are in there. Mm-hmm. It takes months for these teams to prepare. And as I think maybe I heard, some people just work on it all year. They're doing this type of thing. So if somebody is interested in having a team, and this sounds very interesting to them, how many people does it take to have a team? Is there a minimum? Is there a maximum?
There's really not a min or a max, but I always recommend 5, at least 5 to start out with, no more than 10, because you don't want a team so big that when you get to the tournament part that you don't have enough room to have all your team members there, or also when you're doing your project, that way you don't have kids sitting out, you know, who may not have as much to do because you got too many people involved in it. So no more than 10, no less than 5.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean that we haven't mm-hmm. seen teams that are smaller or larger. Mm-hmm. A couple years ago there was a 2-person team. They were very young. It was their first Lego, and they did really well. But like Nikki mentioned, you know, there's a limited space around the actual competition table where you're doing your main robot competition. And generally, kids tag out because you can only have 2 team members there at once. And you want to give everybody a chance to, like, be at the table and participate in the core game. And then the project, I think, that Nikki mentioned, you know, there's a skit. You take a problem, you solve the problem, and then you write this skit kind of talking about how you solve that problem. And if you've got a cast of 20, that's just a longer mm-hmm. script to write. So the bigger your team, you're going to just make it a little bit harder on yourself. And you want to incorporate everybody, because there are, in addition to the referees and the judges who are judging, like, the project and the main competition table, there are also, like, core values judges, like, walking around the competition all day, like looking to see how your team's working, if your team's working well together, is everybody being included, are you working mm-hmm. to solve the problems that come up on, you know, like your practice run at the table didn't go the way you thought it would, are you working to try to solve those problems? Are you working together? Is it just like one person saying, let's do this and this and this and this, and everybody else following along? So they're really looking for that teamwork.
And judges also watch to see how teams interact with other teams, because sometimes teams come and they forgot a piece or they forgot their charger. So they do consider points in that as well, as are they getting along with other teams, or are they really just out there just being rude and obnoxious?
Yeah. So, you know, you mentioned, Christy, you know, that these are the future leaders of the world, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And so we're not just encouraging an interest in science, technology, engineering, math. We're encouraging them to, you know, be better human beings. You know, treat your team members and other teams with respect. And, you know, some kids step up and they are good leaders. But being a leader, I think, is about incorporating the ideas and opinions of the rest of your team instead of just, like, you know, being a dictator.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Beyond Wellness. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, the gluten-free guru, on WEHC 90.7, Emory and Henry College, your college and community station. Today, we are talking about the Southwest Virginia Regional LEGO League Tournament. The tournament is on November the 14th at the Southwest Virginia Higher Education Center, and it starts at 9 a.m. I have two special guests in the studio with us, Callie Heidela and Nikki Rayleigh, and we have Nikki, who is an IT professional at Southwest Virginia Higher Education Center. She is also the volunteer coordinator for LEGO League. How long have you been involved with LEGO League, Nikki?
I believe I've been involved with LEGO League for at least 4, maybe 5 years. I just started out as checking in volunteers, and then from there, they were like, hey, why don't you recruit some volunteers? And from there, that's when about the time that I made the shift at the Higher Ed Center to become in the IT department, and I had to start taking on the role as far as setting up equipment and making sure everything was ready for the tournament today. We usually start planning in 2 months ahead as far as when it comes to the information technology part, and in November, we're pretty much living on caffeine until the tournament's over.
We mentioned that this particular tournament is for ages 9 through 14. The first year that I went, I realized, of course, I have a daughter, but I realized that there are just as many females there participating as males, which is huge in the technology field. If we have people who are thinking about doing a team and they want to come and they want to check it out, Callie, you're going to be the MC for the event. What do you do as an MC to kind of facilitate everything and make sure everybody's having a good time? What's on your agenda for that day?
Oh, gosh. See, this is going to be my first year actually being the MC, and so I've got some pretty big shoes to fill. Our Dove Bush has been the MC for us for the past few years, but she moved to Australia. And so, you know, I've always been at the table as the head ref, and you know, being the MC, first of all, it's about making sure the teams are where they need to be. Like when, you know, someone's getting ready to come up to me at the competition table, you gotta, you know, make sure we're staying on schedule, make sure the teams are like in their, you know, areas waiting to come up. But more than that, it's about, you know, I talk to the teams, you know, give them a chance to hold the mic and, you know, say what they wanna say within reason. And, you know, kind of provide some exciting commentary, I think, on what's going on the competition table. Because, you know, that's where the audience is. That's where the spectators are. They're watching the competition on these big screens. And so I'm thinking about myself as, like, a sportscaster. I think that's the role I'm going to take on with this. You know, as things, this, like I said, this will be my first year doing that. So if I might try a few things, they may work out, they may not. I have to think quick on my feet. Like, you know, if there's a child, I hand a kid a microphone and they start to cry, well, do we listen to that or how do we roll with that punch? But yeah, I'm looking to involve the kids, you know, to, you know, kind of talk to them and see what their thoughts are on the game, on their robot, you know, how they think they're going to do, and then how did they think they did, you know, just and keep the energy up, you know, because LEGO, it's all about that high energy kind of environment. And so, you know, encourage the kids to kind of dance around and play along, because I think that's one of the coolest parts of LEGO is, you know, there's always, like Nikki said, some good music going on. The kids love to dance while they're, you know, like while they're waiting, instead of just them thinking, oh gosh, it's us up next, I'm really, really nervous, you know, just, it's chill. You know, I'm gonna try to encourage them to just have fun with it.
Have you been practicing any of your dance moves?
The Gangnam Style. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I've been working on Whip and Nae Nae.
Okay. Well, I know that that's the hot new one, and I know that I need to learn it.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite moments from LEGO 2 years ago was the Gangnam Style song came on, and it was like the downtime. I think we were waiting for a new round to start, maybe. Mm-hmm. But almost all the teams just completely spontaneously lined up at the front of the Grand Hall, and they all started dancing the Gangnam Style dance. And that was, I got goosebumps. I was so happy to like see them all just like, you know, playing together like that.
And what's funny is like at the end of the tournament, you think they're ready to go home. Well, we turn the music on and they'll sit there and dance for 3 or 4 songs.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The parents are like looking at us back in the sound booth like, cut it off. Cut it off now. We're ready to go home. But it's a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to see what happens this year. Have you been working on your 3-2-1?
Yes. Yeah. I'm thinking I'm going to start the day off with, let's get ready to Lego. And then always, you know, before the robots start moving, we got to go 3-2-1 Lego. And that's when the robots can start moving on the competition table. So I have been working on that.
As long as you have your opener
yeah.
and the transition, then
yep.
you can just fill in the rest of the day. How many teams do you have this year, Nikki? And how many people? Because usually the Grand Hall is packed. And I love, Kelly, that you mentioned that everything is projected up on these big screens. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine looking at a fairly small Lego table compared to the size of the Grand Hall. Everybody can see what's going on. So when they're actually doing the robotics part, you can tell what other teams are doing. And it's a great way to learn what other people have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Too.
Yeah.
Well, in the Grand Hall, on the robot table, we have 2 GoPros. That way, as the tournament begins and they're doing their challenges, you can see step by step what they're doing. So everything's ready to go. Like Callie said, 2 big screens. Then we have a camera in the back to capture the students when they're dancing and having fun like that. And, of course, they love when they can see themselves up on the screen. So that even encourages the dancing. And then we get some adults dancing. So it's always fun.
It's usually
fun.
Me, but I try to encourage other adults to dance as well.
That is true. And our prior MC, Dove, she was a professional singer. She would do Dolly Parton impersonations and good stuff like that. So I don't know if we'll get any singing this year. I tried singing last year, and I was booed. So I will probably stay away from the mic unless I get bored or I find one somewhere in between. Yeah. And what was some of the other question? I do apologize.
How many teams?
How many teams? We have 16 Division II teams. We have 0 Division I teams, but we have a plan to get back into the schools starting in January to help teachers form new teams. So what we'll do is we'll provide some educational tournaments. We'll teach the teachers how to program. But the good news is we've done Kids Tech before, and we've only had 45 minutes to teach students new skills. And the students get it before the teachers. So I have a feeling we'll be able to take off with this very quickly, and then the students can teach the teachers how to program and start building teams. And then I'll stand back and mentor as needed until they can get their teams formed. And then we're also looking into maybe getting some sponsorship money next year to also help these teams get started, because it does cost a little bit of money to get started.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Beyond Wellness. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, the Gluten-Free Guru on WEHC 90.7 Emory and Henry College. Today we're talking about the Southwest Virginia Regional Lego League Tournament on November the 14th at the Southwest Virginia Higher Education Center at 9 a.m. Nikki, you mentioned that schools do teams, but also the girls club, mm-hmm. churches, homeschool groups,
private schools like Christian Cornerstone Academy and then Solvins Academy. Both of those have teams usually in our tournament. So it can even be just like Boy Scouts, any type of group. You know, if you're between 9 to 14, you can form a Lego. You don't have to be affiliated with a school. It's all up to how many team members you can get and if you're ready to compete on November 14th.
Nikki, as you were talking about going into the school systems and educating teachers and students on Lego League, I'm thinking it would be great maybe to do a community workshop where different private groups could come in and they could kind of get a head start on this as well.
Yes, we have been talking about doing that at the Southwest Virginia Higher Education Center. The time is just trying to figure out what's best for everyone. So would it be a weekend or actually a day during the week, maybe after work? So we've been trying to figure that out and plan it out and doing different types of workshops because, you know, there has to be one that's just generic. You know, what is Lego League? How to get involved? You know, how much does it cost? And so on. And then getting into how to form your teams. And then parents sometimes ask us, well, how often should we practice? And that's really up to each team. Some teams start, you know, back in January. They may meet once a week, you know, just learn the programming because the actual tournament, the information is not released until about September of every year. So they can start programming their robot, learning how to do certain things. And then we also offer them at the higher ed center, we have some past tournament mats and challenges. So we sometimes loan those out. They can just come by, check them out, take them home, and then they can practice last year's challenges. So that way it kind of introduces them to the program, because I would say the program is one of the biggest parts of it, and then everything else just kind of falls into place. And we could also go to, you know, private schools or anywhere else that they may need us to do workshops, or if you have any suggestions, you know, you can let me know and we can see what we can do.
Does each team have to have a coach?
Yes, each team does have to have a coach, and it's been a new rule. I think it started 2 years ago or maybe last year. There is a background check involved, so they do have to sign up and make sure all that information is submitted before you can actually register your team.
Is there a website that people can go to find more information about the first LEGO League competitions?
Yes, it's a... You can type in Google Virginia First Lego League. It's also part of DC, and all the information's there. Or you can go to our website as a starting point, and that's www.svrl.org, Southwest Virginia Regional Lego. And the information is right there, or you can give me a call at 276-619-4362.
And I would also mention that, you know, hearing us talk about this is one thing, but if you actually want to see it, YouTube. There are videos of some of the LEGO challenges for the past few years available on YouTube. There's the head LEGO dude,
Nick,
who like walks you through the LEGO challenges, and so, you know, talking about it's one thing, but seeing it is completely different. So go to YouTube and just Google like LEGO League.
And we've also mentioned that, you know, you can come in the day of the tournament. We do tours, and you can come in, and I'll show you where the robot design part is, where you can meet with some of the judges. Cheryl Carrico, the head judge, she always talks to the team, so they can give you some feedback, too, on what they look for. And it's a fun day, so just come check it out.
That's on November 14th at the Southwest Virginia Higher Education Center at 9 a.m. Now, this... people might argue we're not going to say that the competition part is the most important part. However, it is a tournament. So at the end of the day, there's a big award ceremony that everyone really anticipates. Kind of walk us through just real quickly how that is and what it means if a team wins.
All right, so kind of how this works, and it's different for each year depending on how many teams participate. But we bring all the kids back in. They come in, do their parade of teams, I believe is what it's called. And they all sit down, and then the head judge and usually Callie and the MC, they announce the winners. And there's usually a first place and a second place for each part. So project, teamwork, core values, robot design. And then they also do one for the competition part, like on who scored the most points, and then an overall team award. The good thing about LEGO is you cannot win, like, all the awards. So everyone has a chance to possibly win an award.
Callie, are you going to be presenting the awards, or who's going to be presenting them? Have we discussed it? Has anybody discussed it yet?
We haven't discussed it, but it probably will be Callie, since some of us are shy with the mic. So it will probably be Callie who'll be announcing the awards, or, you know, we may to see if there's anyone else, or we could always have a couple people announcing awards.
I think I'm going to insist on announcing the awards.
I think you should, Kelly, definitely. We've made the decision today on Beyond Wellness, like that means
That's
anything.
Right.
So if a team wins first place, do they automatically go on to another competition?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, so after this is the state LEGO tournament, and usually first place, and depending, like, if there's enough teams, they may sometimes send the second place team as well. If the first team cannot make it, then they'll bump up the second team, and then they can compete at the state tournament.
And then I think it goes all the way up to, like, world.
Yeah.
if you go far enough.
And that's different every year on exactly where that's located.
That would be incredible if a team from Southwest Virginia went to the world tournament.
We are the champions of the world.
And it started with an interview on Beyond Wellness.
That's right.
Thank you all for being on Beyond Wellness today. I hope you all have a great turnout. I know everyone will have a great time on November 14th.
Thanks so much for having us, Christy.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Beyond Wellness. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, the gluten-free guru, on WEHC 90.7 Emory and Henry College, your college and community station.